Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really excited because we're bringing you a brand new segment. This is going to be our fortnightly market update with my friend Tony Lecantro. Now, Tony has been in the markets for a long time. He'll give you a little bit about his background, but we're going to talk to you about, well, he's going to talk to you about what's hot, what's not, what to look out for. And over the years, Tony's got some very, very happy clients. So I'm delighted. He's a busy guy. He's based in Perth and where all the action's happening at the moment. Even though we can't travel there, but welcome to the program, Tony. It's great to we're going to be doing this regular segment every fortnight on a Wednesday, hump day, so people can get an idea of what's going on out there in the market. So great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, Kerry. It feels as though I've known you for years, and I think I have. I remember the gold conferences down at Luna Park, and you've been very kind to me with guest speaking roles, and it's good to get what I do out there.
Well, and you do it very well, Tony. And unfortunately, we can't do a conference in person. But you know what? Technology allows us to talk this way. So that's all good. Because this is the first time that we're introducing you to some of our viewers, let's. Can you just give a little bit of your background and how you have got to where you are? And you know, you've picked some real winners for your clients over the years.
Yeah, I grew up in Sydney, didn't know what I wanted to do out of school, so I became a cop. So I did that for 8 years. And during that time as a police officer, I taught myself the stock market and became a broker in November 98, which in those days, there wasn't much to do. We were trading Optus warrants. And then that led into the biggest mother bubble of all times, which was .com. So I got to know the market pretty quick. Broking was a frantic job, but what I fell in love with was the underdog and small cap companies. So my first real involvement was a company called BMAX, run by Nick Mather. And then that grew from there. And I ended up, myself and another person floated Independence Group. That went very well, floated Medusa, had a lot of success over the years. We had that big intersection with Ramilius 2007, which was 48 meters at 154 gold. And I had a quarter of the company for mums and dads. So it's been quite good. I helped Bill Beeman at 5 cents in Northern Star, just sold out my last client, in fact, at $13.77. But I've had a lot of wins. I've been slapped around a lot because in this game, you've got to be prepared for your stocks to halve at some point. But I'm purely focused on 500% plus upside, 30 to 40 down. And that's how I operate. I've built my clients. I do a lot of media. I was doing Foxtel. I'm just right into it and probably one of the busiest in the industry at the moment.
Well, Tony, let's get stuck into it, because I know that one of the things you love to do is help mum and dad investors out there and steer them in the right direction. So this is going to be our fortnightly market update. So what are you seeing out there at the moment? A lot of headwinds from what I see, a bit of volatility going on, prices a bit choppy. What are you seeing at the moment?
Well, I think everyone expected the COVID capitulation to continue. The nights there, the Dow was down just under 2,000 points and we're getting absolutely poleaxed. But what this lockdown has inspired is a new breed of traders. So you're starting to see people in the AFR, the new face of stock pickers. These Twitter channels have gone nuts. Facebook channels have gone nuts. And there was a week there where we had some stocks rise over 1,000% in a day. Good. So all I'm seeing is it's like the Robin Hoods. We'll make up a name for them, but that they took a company in the US called Hertz from 50 cents to about $8, and the company's bankrupt. So it's Tipperama, it's Traderama. We saw Afterpay, as you know, get down below $10, and suddenly it was knocking on the door of 100. So we are seeing a lot of unsophisticated speculators coming into the market. Those professionals that have got cheap stock have plenty of volume to sell in. I still think that the Dow Jones is grossly overvalued. I think we're just over 28,000. I think that's going below 20, probably over time. But these new investors, speculators, whatever you call them, are going to be taught some lessons shortly. You just can't make money like this easily. So, you know, I've been doing advising clients for 22 years. I've held their hands through everything, the bubbles, the booms, the busts. But to me, these are people that are socially isolated, relying on social media to try and make money. So I think in the end, it's an absolute recipe for disaster.
So more like a casino rather than an investment market at the moment?
Definitely a casino. You've got stocks that are up towards $1 billion market caps with sweet FA revenue. It's as if market caps don't matter at the moment. It's all about momentum. It's FOMO. Mums and dads, speculators, aren't going to go out and do DCF analysis on a company or value the resource. They're just going to jump on to whatever's moving. And in a bull market, you know, people shouldn't mistake a bull market for brains, because even though after 22 years of this, I think I've finally cracked the code on how to do it. And that's being extensively busy and living through every market condition. So I just think these new people coming in are going to get taught some serious lessons. Their more sophisticated speculators are going to slice and dice them. And that's just the way markets are.
Okay, so in terms of a market update right now, are you saying that the people that are listening to us right now, it's a dangerous time to get in the market and to stay on the sidelines? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not going to encourage that. My point is what I've done is we've had, in amongst all this shit going on in the world, my clients have had an amazing year. We've had a few 10 baggers come to fruition. We've had some discoveries as well. So what I'm advising my clients is to look at these ETFs that bet against the Australian and the US market and start building a position. So that is the BBUS and the BBOz. And if people pull up a chart as to what happened during the COVID smackdown, these ETFs performed extremely well. So whilst you can never insure a portfolio of speculative stocks, it's the closest thing that you can get. I'm a believer if you buy the right, it's a case of buy right and sit tight. So we've got a lot of my companies are coming up to price catalysts, which could propel them in biotech and exploration. So what I've found is over the 22 years is to simply buy the right stocks and put up with this volatility, because a number of our stocks halved in March, but they've doubled and then some. So yeah, as you saw in the lithium bubble, cobalt bubble, vanadium bubble, a lot of the rubbish stocks dropped 80%, 90%, and all they've become is shells. So I just can't see how people can learn that quickly. I think they're more inclined just to take tips off someone at a barbecue or at a Zoom party for the people elsewhere.
And I think that's very good. Let's go into a couple of the actual sectors at the moment, Tony. Banking's had a bit of a hit at the moment. Stay or go?
Oh, I wouldn't touch bank stocks with your money.
Okay.
I think that whole sector, on your money, your call about 5 years ago, I suggested selling all the banks and buying gold producers. And I think at that time, Westpac was about $35. And it recently touched, it was in the 13s recently. Admittedly, it's recovered. But when you've got 800,000 mortgages delayed or people aren't paying, and we've got the mother of all recessions coming, you do not want to be in bank stocks, because people are reliant on dividends and they're going to slash them. So no, I wouldn't. I'd actually try and short the banks, but people need to look at that, how to do that themselves. But, you know, the BBOS, which is the negatively correlated ETFs, probably the best way of doing that.
Okay, let's talk about telcos. Do you like the telcos at the moment?
Probably had their growth a little bit boring, but what could benefit Telstra is this long search for yield. So obviously with a lot of people working from home, we've seen excess demand for NBN services and internet, but the phone space has become quite competitive. I mean, IINet was a brilliant business. That's now morphed into TPG. That's all become, and they've in turn snapped up Vodafone. So look, I think the telco sector, apart from some lazy money going to Telstra, will be largely driven by growth that I don't think is going to be there in the short term. So another avoid for me.
But Telstra pays a decent dividend from memory.
Well, they'll probably have to reduce that at some point. But, you know, there's always a rush for the lifeboats. So as banks cut their dividends, you're not going to see people buy gold producers for yield, probably said no one ever. But no, I'd certainly stay out of the telco sector because that high growth tech sector is where the absolute market smacking is going to happen.
Great. Okay. Now, I know that you've focused a little bit with biotechs at the moment. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of companies in the biotech sector. How do you sort through all of that apart from becoming your client, of course? But
yeah,
what's your view?
Look, yeah, biotech's tough. Similar odds to mining. But I went over to the BioShares conference in Queenstown. They actually put me on the panel. I just get to know management, get to know the top shareholders in each company, get to know if phase one has worked. So actually the biotech sector has been great for us. I floated a cholesterol company earlier this year. I also helped float Exapharm. And we've just had some stunning upside and results from Dimerix, which is a kidney drug. So basically what's happened is, Kerry, is that everyone's focused on COVID and the long-term effects of COVID, but no one knows what it is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that are still going to have ongoing ailments, respiratory issues. I'm big on regenerative medicine. And if there's a hint of, you probably saw CSL had a bit of a bounce due to the vaccine. We see all these vaccines from Russia and God knows where, but I still think that this COVID's going to be around, and a number of companies, I believe, will be not preparing to treat COVID or assist with COVID, but the future pandemics. And I think that's going to be an ongoing story in the biotech sector. And I think outside a major discovery, I think that's one area where speculators are going to flock to.
All right. Well, staying in that kind of in that realm, obviously people are getting older. Aged care is in the news. What about healthcare? Do you look at that at all as a sort of a base for people to look at, a sort of a strength in the market in that area?
Well, I think if you bought a basket of companies related to aged care, you would have lost as the average age of the people living there, Kerry. I mean, all these nursing homes that we've had the Royal Commission, very tough. You've had CSL pretty much out on its own. Ramsay's been a good performer. There's always going to be demand for pathology. So I think this COVID pandemic is probably going to open up quite a number of new opportunities and to do with respiratory and developing tests that pick chronic diseases before they happen. So I think that's going to be a booming sector, but sadly, the more residential side of healthcare has just absolutely copped it, along with the hospital sector.
All right, well, we're running out of time on our first one, but we're going to get
into that's all right.
That's all right. One I love. Let's talk about the resources sector. It's another area that you have followed over the years. Are you seeing are you focused on the gold, or do you see uranium, iron? I know it's a big sector, we can't cover it all, but let's do big picture first.
Well, the gold producers have had an absolute stellar 5 to 6 years. You saw Northern Star up around $16. They've all come back. And the reason why the Australian gold producers have struggled is because we've had a synchronised pretty much world recession, and our dollar, instead of being in the mid-50s, is in the low 70s. So I still think that these gold companies that are probably making up to $1,500 plus an ounce are going to start looking for some smaller companies in M&A activity. You've already seen Ramelius lead that process off. So I think the upside in the producers probably going to be institutional money flow. I'm looking to the companies that have ounces in the ground that are going to attract corporate activity as well. And I think probably uranium would probably be their contrarian play to be in, but there's very limited uranium opportunities because those that tried to mine during the uranium bubble, they all pretty much went under.
Yeah. Okay. So, Tony, it's just a big picture today. Next week, yeah, we can go directly into the market. But let's, given it's our first intro to the Tony Lecantro market update, yep, what advice would you give to those people listening at the moment in this? It's a market that you can't really, it's hard to judge it at the moment.
Well, I think what you've got to do is stick to quality. Don't fall in love with social media tips, because it's like getting free drugs. Once you're addicted to rubbish stocks, it's hard to turn it around. So you need to look at quality resource companies. I'd say go to a quarterly that Red Metal, RDM, or Minotaur, MEP, release and learn what a quality company looks like. In the biotech sector, look at something like what DXB have done, Dimerix or PIQ Proteomics, and use them as a bit of a bench case as to what to look for in quality. And the other thing, unless it's very hard to go short, but I think those two ETFs I mentioned are well worth a look because our indices are made up of banks and large resource companies, and I just cannot see them going too much higher, and there could be years of downside to come.
Tony Lecantro, great overview for our first chat. How, if people would like to get a hold of you and get some more information, how can they do that?
They can follow me on Twitter. I'm under my real name, which is Tony Lecantro, or I think it's Lecantro Tony's my handle, or send me an email, tony@altocapital.com.au. But happy to take on anyone who's keen and has the right attitude. I'm not short of clients, I'm not short of business, but I guess if people, you can take a certain path, if they want to come and learn, I'm happy to help.
As always, you are, Tony, and we really appreciate you joining us on our new segment at Small Caps. We're here to help the market and make sure people don't make too many mistakes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's a brief overview today. In a fortnight's time, we're going to come back with Tony and we're going to drill down a little bit more into the market and what he's seeing as the good, the bad, and the ugly. For now, that's it from us. Have a good evening. Thanks, Tony.